The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey everybody, welcome to Thinking Outside the Long Box. This is Gabe, and today we are doing one of our very special interview episodes. Every once in a while, Juan gives me a phone call and says, "Hey, I have someone really famous that I want you to talk to," and I get very excited, and this is definitely one of those episodes. Today I'll be talking with Lysla de Oliveira. I'm desperately hoping I pronounce her last name right, but she has been on In the Tall Grass and Guest of Honor, but we are going to be talking to her about her role as Dodge in Lock and Key. For those of you who don't know, Lock and Key is a Netflix show that is based on an IDW comic book that pretty much everybody on the show loves if they have read it, and if they haven't read it, they're getting pretty excited to read it. So, hope you guys enjoy the interview. I'll talk to you in a little bit. Bye. Hi, Lysla. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing really well. So what I'll probably do is just forego like the typical introduction I do and record that later so I can maximize my time. Is that okay?
You got it. Let's do it.
Awesome. So Lysla, the first question I really have is that knowing ahead of time that Dodge doesn't have a ton of redeemable, if any redeemable qualities, and is just a true villain, how do you prepare yourself to be in that headspace?
I mean, it's so interesting with Dodge because, of course, I'm not really that much of a method actor. So I didn't go home and started, you know, being mean to people or my boyfriend or my family. But the thing that I would do is I really like to listen to music to maybe get me in the zone. I listen to a lot of Billie Eilish. Also, a lot of my scenes were, you know, by myself. I had some scenes with Jackson, but he could only work 8 hours a day. So by the time he left, a lot of the scenes I did have to do by myself, and I didn't really have that many scenes with, you know, the kids in school, except that scene in episode 7 and towards the end. So a lot of my experience I felt was by myself, which was great for my character because I got to experience what, you know, being by yourself is, which I think really works when you're playing a villain.
So, you know, kind of towards that method of acting, you know, does the fact that Dodge not only change gender, but also like takes on the personalities of three different people, did have an effect on the way you approach the role as well?
Absolutely. I think in the back of my mind, I was always trying to think of the fact that, you know, this is a demon or a male in a woman's body for the first time. And I try to showcase what that would feel like. I think we definitely see that in the first and second episode, especially with the shopping spree scene and the Paris nightclub scene, you know, that feeling of what does it feel like to be in a woman's body for the first time, and I try to have fun with it as much as possible. And also because there's a sci-fi element to her, maybe something in the eyes, you know, I try to infuse that as much as I can or as I could.
It's really interesting to think about. Playing against gender has got to be kind of difficult. I feel like that would be really hard for me to figure out.
Yeah, I think I wasn't trying to play the I or a man per se. I was playing with the idea of getting to wear something really cool. And in this case, it was flesh, you know, versus trying to be a guy, because I don't think when she is in woman form that she is trying to be a man. I think it is just very excited to take on this new form. So having fun with that rather than being a different gender.
Oh, that's really interesting. Like thinking of it almost like a change of clothes as opposed to a change of personality.
Exactly. Like a really fun outfit. Because the good thing about Dodge is that they take on so many forms. And so whatever form you're playing is what you're exploring aesthetically. So I have to use, you know, my physical strengths, whereas the other Dodges use theirs and whatever that means to them.
So I'm sure you get asked this a ton because the source material is so popular, but were you a fan of the comic prior to taking the role?
I actually hadn't read it, or I didn't know about it at all. I knew about Joe Hill, though, because I had just shot in The Tall Grass, which he wrote the short story with his dad. And so I remember getting the audition and looking up the comic and looking up Dodge in the comic, female Dodge. And I thought, whoa, this is really cool. And then I read the script and I thought, wow, whoever gets this part is going to be so lucky. Here's a role that's for a woman and she's completely unapologetic and she gets to be a sci-fi villain, which we don't have many of. There are not many female sci-fi villains. And so... yeah, I didn't know much going in. And then when I got the part, I totally read them and I fell in love. I mean, in the graphic novel, Dodge is mainly male. So I didn't have too much to pull from the source material in that sense, but it was great reading it and getting a better understanding of the world.
So talking a little bit about, you know, the work that you've done in science fiction and kind of fantasy, do you find it easier or more difficult to prepare for a role at, you know, in a genre as opposed to, you know, in a real world kind of capacity?
They're both challenging in different ways. I think in a real world capacity, one has to be a little bit more vulnerable at times, which can be quite challenging. And the challenging thing about exploring sci-fi world is, A, you really have to use your imagination, but also a lot of these things are shot in fragments, especially if they are green screen. So you don't get to live out full arc while you're shooting all the time. And on top of that, a lot of the time, like I had mentioned before, you don't really have a scene partner there. So it's hard. It can be hard because you're not acting with somebody or pulling from their energy. You're just imagining things. And so it's hard to kind of evaluate what your performance is going to look like. I think you just hope for the best. That's why I was very excited when I saw it, because it was the first time I was able to watch myself as an audience member. Because it really only comes together at the end, especially for a role like that.
So as you're watching it and this all comes together, you know, I'm sure there's pieces of the show that you hadn't seen until you had the chance to like sit down and watch the show. What were some of the mm-hmm. things that you saw in the final product that you were just like, oh, that is so cool. I wish I could have been a part of that, or that it was shocking or just kind of amazing.
Well, the ghost key. I thought that was so cool. I would love to do a ghost key scene. I thought they did a wonderful job with that. And also the finale, that was 3 days of wire work. So being able to see how it looked like in the end was absolutely incredible.
So I'm a nerd, you know, and our comic book, our podcast is largely kind of comic book focused. And I'm completely obsessed with the architecture that's in the comic book of Lock and Key. Like Gabriel Rodriguez has mm-hmm. a background in architecture and all of that. Looking mm-hmm. at the set pieces that were created and the, you know, the town that it was filmed in, what was it like, you know, filming on such lush sets and being in like the, you know, Lunenburg, the UNESCO World Heritage Site? Like, what was that experience like?
Lunenburg was amazing. I didn't even know it existed. I was blown away by the beauty. I have to go back in the summer because we were actually there during the winter. And we actually only shot the bits and pieces of the pilot and I believe the finale in Lunenburg. The rest was actually in Toronto. I can't take any credit for it, but they built a beautiful set. They built the exterior of the house in Hamilton, which is just outside of Toronto. And the top of the house was actually green screen, but the bottom, everything you see there, they built, and it's so beautiful. And then the inside of the house was actually in the studio, and that was great as well. I mean, I posted some videos on my Instagram. I just think it's so great when you get to walk around the house and then go up the stairs and there's nothing there. I always think that's hilarious. So they built different sections of the house in the studio, of course, but they did a wonderful job.
It looks phenomenal. Like in, you know, the exteriors of the house and the interior shots, you know, capture that feel that the comic book had of like massive, but also somehow like really cloistering. And I love it. It's really well done. So kudos to the people that did that.
And also, I was so amazed by how quick they would build these sets and how quick they would take them down. Like the inside of Aaron Voss's head was such a beautiful set. And they built that and took that down a couple of days later. And I'm so amazed by how much work goes into that and how talented these people are.
So as we near the end of the interview, obviously everybody that's seen the first season has their fingers crossed for a second season because we all have to know what happens. But
yeah.
Looking forward, obviously you can't, you know, speculate, and I know you can't tell us anything about that, but looking forward, how are ways that you think you can grow Dodge in the character, you know, with the opportunity to move into a second season?
I would love to know. I mean, of course, I'm not one of the writers. All I can do is bring to life whatever they decide to put on, you know, paper. And also, I'm a terrible writer anyway, so I'll definitely leave that up to them. But I would love to know what Dodge's origin story is and where she's going. I think, you know, in the first season, we see her really wanting the keys, or really wanting to open the black door. And if we do get a second season, I would love to know, you know, what that means and see how his army grows and what that means. I would love a villain takeover. I'm Team Dodge.
So definitely, for those of you that haven't read the comic book, I won't say anything about that, but yeah, that'd be great to watch as well.
yeah, that'd be so fun.
Well, Lysla, thank you so much for your time today. We really, really appreciate it.
Thank you. We
are loving this show. You know, people that were already fans of the comic book are loving this show, and people that are new to the story are loving this show. So thank you so much for helping create the world of Lock and Key.
Oh, that makes me so happy to hear. I'm just so happy that people are enjoying the show and that it's doing well. It definitely has a very special place in my heart.
Wow, that was so much fun, man. I really hope you guys enjoyed that interview. Be sure to check us out on our social medias, which you can find at totlb.com. And of course, you can support us at patreon.com/totlb. And you can find our YouTube channel at tinyurl.com/totlbtube. Please go and subscribe to the YouTube channel. That will help us get more people listening to the show. People like you who love it and love what we do. We're glad to have you along for the ride. Be sure if you have any questions, comments, concerns, you want to say something that you think is interesting, give us a call, 970-573-6148. With that said, I've been Gabe, and this has been Thinking Outside the Long Box. Bye.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast, Baron Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Baron Space production.